And you notice it says in verse 15, Naomi said to her sister-in-law, you go back to your gods and go back to your people. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal harshly with me, ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. It's amazing how daughter-in-laws can do that. They can really push you around, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah, we know about that. Well, I get tickled and I really have a question that I often ask. Do you live in a Dennis the Menace family? Some of you are not old enough to know about that. A lot of you have read a lot of Dennis the Menace stuff. You've seen the movies. I don't have to watch the movies. I can just watch my family. I've got enough scattered family now. They've grown enough that I look at them and think, you know, that is kind of a Dennis the Menace situation. It's crazy. The schedules they have to keep, the things that they did. We never had to do that when we were a child. My mother just say, be home by dark. That's all it was cared about. Boy, not anymore. You've got everything in the world going on. And we've got to recognize that many times it's kind of like Dennis the Menace in our family. It's nuts trying to keep up with everything that is going on. Proverbs 14:1 says this, the wise woman builds her home, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. The background of this story, this account of Ruth, this is an interesting thing because you find a family that is a family. It is a good family. But they're in a place in Judah where a famine strikes. And the famine is terrible. And you know, we have welfare. We have food. We have a church that gives out free food. Lots of it. People don't starve to death very much in this society. They may act like it, but they really don't. Famine in that world was horrible. It literally meant that the family couldn't get enough to eat. They could hardly be able to live. And the thing that you need to realize is that this family lived in Judah. And the last thing they would ever want to do would be to move from there. That was their place. But the famine got so terrible that Elimelech had to move his family to Moab. That's like if you live in Sanger, you move your family to Crum? Really? Of course, the Crum people say that about Sanger also. It's just a little rivalry that goes on all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, they moved to Moab. Now here, Elimelech, probably for about 10 years they were there. He had Mahlon and he had Chilion, the two kids, and they made themselves at home in Moab. That was a wonderful place to live for them. And lo and behold, you know, sometimes you can't direct your children to marry the right people, can you? That's what my mom said. That's what my grandmother said. I've had a lot of families said that. Well, in this case, you take a look at this, and these two kids took Moabites to marry. They took foreign wives, Ruth and Orpah. These are Moabites. That's outside all the realm of what could take place. And then the worst happened. The father and both sons died. You know, that when you're in a foreign land like that, even though you've made yourself at home, when tragedy like that strikes, it is terrible. And suddenly, you have Ruth and her two daughter-in-laws living together. And they're not comfortable at that. And when they've gone, Naomi has little choice. She thinks now she's heard that it's a little better back in Judah, so we'll scoot back there. We'll go back to that place. But how in the world is she going to drag two foreigners back to that place and make a living? When they go, the first thing you know is that these two ladies are going to be scorned. They're going to have a hard time, and they're just not going to be able to do very much. And Ruth wanted to do the best for them. You will be better off here with your family that you know than going with me to an unknown. I encourage both of you to stay here. And you know, Orpah cried. She didn't want to do that, but she did it anyhow. She went back to her family, and you notice it, and to their gods. Ruth chose no. I go with you wherever you go. I'm going to be stuck like glue on to you. And not only that, she is going to make a living, or at least try to find a way to make a living for Naomi. It's kind of amazing. As they turned and they went that place, it is an amazing thing. You know, family is interesting. When you were born into a family. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Not only that, when you have children, you name them. I drew the short end of the stick. I'm Erskine Leo McNeil Jr. Other two brothers have Vance and Dick. Those are good names. Richard. But I wound up with that one. I didn't have a choice. But that happens, and you're born into a family, and you love that family. But the family today is just not exactly what it started out to be. Do you realize the man and a woman together? Those two together, that is critical, because God said that's the way a family is. He was the one who dictated how the family is. Husband and the wife being joined together and stepped out on their own. That's what God said. But you know something? Things change, don't they? I wonder who in our history figured out that instead of having a square thing, you could make it round and it would roll. They discovered a wheel way back when. But you know, the wheels today are not at all like the wheels back then. They have changed. How about the automobile business? You know how old our automobiles are? About 115 years. Did you ever look at the picture of the first automobile? I tell you what, if you want to look it up, the man whose name is on that is Carl Benz. That's the first Benz. Now, he didn't have Mercedes on there, but it was Benz. Had three wheels. Three little wheels. And I don't know how you make it go. But you know, today, our cars have so many cameras that you can't figure out what they're all for. And it'll dictate how you drive, and it's ugly to you if you don't want to cooperate with it. And it's smarter than you are. It knows more. And a little thing comes up on the screen. Don't take your eyes off the road. How does he know that? Cars are just so smart now. They're a lot smarter than we are. And you know, you can't just take them to a shade tree mechanic anymore to have them worked on. You have to take them in for service. And boy, it is service when you get it. But that's just the way it is. Cars are so different. Family has evolved also. You know, with all the gay pride junk that we have going on today, you look at the cereal that you buy, and now they have gay pride cereal. I bet you didn't know that. I don't have a box of it. I won't have it. But they're doing junk like that just to destroy our families. And they're trying to say, you can't just say a man and a woman. You've got to recognize families come in any size and shape, and anything we want to call a family is a family. I wondered about marrying my cat. You know, that would upgrade me. No. But that just about as stupid as some of the stuff we're seeing around here watching our families dissolve. And we as Christians need to stand up and say, that's not right. We know what a real family is. And we need to recognize that a real family is a Christian family. A real family is a Christian family because that's the way God intended it. And if we recognize that that's the way God intended it, then we need to know. We may not be able to define everything we want to define about it, but there are characteristics that are very important for us to realize. The real family, a real family will weather the storms of life. You know, that's sometimes very difficult. We look at the storms that come in on us that just crowd us out. There's stuff in our lives that really make it hard to be family. And yet we've got to come back and realize how critically important it is to have a family. And you notice that the family we're discussing right here, Ruth and Naomi, they were part of an important family. When they were first there, they were very important in the country that had a famine. But you notice the family joined together. And they faced the famine together, and they moved. And they built a new home together. A whole new home just for them. The family stuck together through all of this, and they never lost sight of their oneness. Now, the destruction right there at the end when Orpah has to leave, that's terrible. But to hear Ruth make a commitment like she did, I'm going to be with you until you die. And I'm going to take care of you. And I will be a part of your life from now on. And so you'll realize that there was a oneness there, and the trials of life want to tear the family apart. I tell you, this world that we're living in is really hard for our families, to help us hold our families together and let them be what they're supposed to be. You know, there are a lot of families that today, there are a lot of people who become parents long before they quit being a child. And we recognize that really, if you're going to be a family, you've got to grow up. You've got to think of the famines that come. You know, we don't just have famines of food. We have so many families that have such indebtedness that financially they're almost in ruins. It's amazing how famine hits like that. There's a famine of time. We don't have enough time to put into our children. We need to put the time in with our children. We need to do all that we need to do to help them become everything that they ought to be. To realize that we do have that responsibility. And society is a tremendous tension on us. It orients itself on us. And we need to realize that's not necessary. We need to be able to deal with society and not let it tear us apart. But we have so many extraneous things coming in to destroy the family. The devil's having a heyday. And we need to realize that it's not his choice. It's our choice. And so, I believe that a real Christian family is bound together by love. You've got to have love. You've got to love one another without abandon. You've got to have it. You notice Ruth literally wanted to go with her. You know why? Because that was a family of love. They displayed the love that was supposed to be in that family. And if you'll notice the way that it was, the love drew the two girls in. Orpah just hated to have to not. She just finally thought it would be best if she stayed. But I think it broke her heart because there was love in that family. And when you look at it, love in our families help us to overcome everything that is right in front of us. We can get it and we can find that we are bound together as family. And we can't overcome all the embarrassment or the barriers or the problems. When you look at this, when Ruth went home with Naomi, there was still love in the family. And Naomi really did have all the love that was required to bind them together as a unit. And so there was a lot of good feeling there. What kind of love is this? Just read a few words here. This love is pure. It is unselfish. It is uncalculating. It is outgoing. It is sacrificial. It is intelligent. And it is patient. And we need that in all of our family work. We need to recognize that that is the goal that we have. My question is this. Do we in our families create such a love response that you just know that it's bound together? You know, I tried to steal Mary away from her family till I met her dad. Ooh. You know what? I think it was 3 weeks or 3 months maybe when I would go to their place before I ever opened my mouth. I know what love was like. I saw that. And, you know, when I was able to rescue her from her family, she brought all that love with her. A great upcoming and a great, great ongoing. And so we find that love literally makes the family a unit. And if we deal with that, Boy, it is hard. You know, generation gap? Have you heard that word before? There's not nearly so much a generation gap as there's a communication gap. We need to learn to communicate with each other. And sometimes that gets very hard when you can't figure out what words the kids are using, because they have their own language. But you can learn and you can get there and you can find it. And so the generation gaps and the idea of barriers, love can break all that down. Love is the connecting rod that holds it all together. And then, third thing that I would point out to you is that a real family, a real Christian family, centers its activities around the will of God. Whatever God's will is. You notice the resolution that she made? Your God will be my God. That's important. Because as you get to the end of this thing, you find out her God was her God. And he made a difference. And it's amazing all that transpired through all of this. And so we realize your God is my God. There's a little training thing that we need to do as a family, and that is for each member of the family to find God's will. I would love to have had three young sons to follow me and be a preacher. It didn't happen. They are all serving God and doing what they need to do as a family. But you look at this and realize that we all personally are responsible to finding God's will for my life and for your life and for their life. And I think parents have a real guide on the children to let them learn how to find God's will. And they will find it when they see you find it. They will mimic you. They will follow you. And it's amazing how that just works. There's a promise also. The promise is that I'll stick with it all the way through. And the main thing is to follow through. You finish what you start. We need to put everything in practice that is what the promise is that we've made to God. We've got to put that into practice. And then the common religious basis is the purpose for worship. You know, it's amazing how when you don't teach your children what they need the most is a relationship with God. You're letting them get out on the sea and it'll be terrible water. And some of them may even drown. Parents have to discharge their responsibilities and they have to do it faithfully. I think the three guys that were there, I think they did everything they could. And I don't think any one of them wanted to die. But you know, here it is. Naomi is all by herself. She's got a daughter-in-law that has made a promise that I will follow through, and she followed through with everything. We've got to have a common religious purpose. I think families need to be in church together. I've never liked children's church very much because it separates children from parents. But I put up with it for years and years, but I haven't always liked it very much because I think children ought to learn how to come in here and sit down. And if they make noise, they just make noise. Boy, I'll tell you, we had a son that snored. And it was pretty loud, wasn't it? And I'd watch my wife over there try to stuff a sock in her, do whatever to keep that kid from snoring. But they were always in church. And you know what? They still are. That's the thing that is most important, that we learn to worship together. And we must discharge our responsibilities absolutely as we should. You and I will find that we'll get through there. We've got to follow through on all of our good intentions. In other words, what we're saying is you got to finish what you start. And some of that can't be finished in a day. When you're raising your children, it's a long haul. And you know what? They're going to try you every way they can. It's what my mom said. It just happens. We've got to make good on our promises. We've got to literally lead all the members of the family to serve God. And we've got to make the choices that put God first in all of our lives. The conclusion to this is, just listen to this. There's Ruth. And there's Boaz. There's Obed. There's Jesse. There's David, .. Joseph and Mary, .. Jesus Christ our Lord. How in the world did a foreigner get in that list? God's choice. You know, whatever God's choice is, that's what we learn to live with. And as we begin these several sermons on family, let's start with that background. Looking for God's will, each and every one of us. And we do it together as a family. And we work with our families like that. It might be that today you need to make a decision. I'm going to invite you, if you need to come to the altar and pray, to come. If for some reason you need to join the church, or if you need to come and repent, if you need to come and rededicate your life, whatever it is you need to do, this is where we do business with God. I'm going to ask you just to come as the Lord leads you. And let's stand together and we'll sing our hymn of invitation.
Trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
And reaching out, we've got to be able to do that. I'm going to be at the door deck here, and I'll be glad to take those ballots. So as you walk by, fold them 2 or 3 times, it'll be fine. And next Sunday, I'll have a list hopefully prepared so that I'll present it to you, and we'll approve it, we'll pray for them, and we'll start looking for a pastor. That be good? Woo-hoo! Amen. Oh, yeah, who said that? Oh, whoever it was, I'm going to let you pray.